So we're learning how what Shabbos is to each and every individual Jew, Shabbos is to the Yochid, Shemitah is for the Jewish people, is for the nation. We need to understand what that means. Now, even though we're here in Chutz La'aretz, that doesn't mean that we're not part of all of this, of course. We are learning how the Torah tells us that the 6 days of the week are days of kaas, of anger, and of daiga, of worry, of zav, and tachrus, of competition, and upheaval. And as a result of that commotion, the turmoil of the 6 days of the week, the natural school of Nishmas Yisrael, the sweetness, the depth, and the beauty of Nishmas Yisrael is covered, is concealed. And so Hashem Shabbat gave us Shabbos every week that we can come back to ourselves. And He gave us Shemitah as a people so that that as a people, as a nation, we can come back to our true nature, who we really are. Now, this distinction between the individual and the nation, this distinction is, we saw last week, is the makar of this is in the Zohar Kaddish, and we need to understand it on a deeper level. So, we're on the top of page 39. One of the simonim of the 6 days of the week, Rav Kook calls it Abirius. There's no other place except Rav Kook's writings that you have that word. Abir means something which is powerful, strong. Abirius, Rav Kook is using to describe this, a certain quality of forcefulness and assertiveness that is not naturally. It's not the nature of Am Yisrael to be so aggressive and so forceful. But the 6 days of the week force us into a certain forcefulness that's uncharacteristic of who we are. It's just not characteristic of who we are. Tkifus, aggressive, to be takif, strong and aggressive. Alodam lama domashem higiela. Now, during the 6 days of the week, in order to be successful in this world, Alo Adam Lamad Masha Megillah. Masha Megillah, a person's in business, you have a customer, you did work for the customer, as Megillah Chavet, the guy owes you money. And there's no reason that you should not be Omer Masha Megillah. That's why we have a Shulchan Aruch, and that's why we have Bezdin. That a person has every right to be Omer Masha Megillah. Adam Shebitza Avoida Kalshi, Chayv Lidbo Mimavidos Atashlam. If you did work for somebody, you worked for someone, you did a job, you have the right, and you have really an obligation to take care of your family, to go and to ask to get paid. And if you're selling somebody some merchandise, and the customer keeps on asking you to lower the price, lower the price, lower the price, that you're not making any money or that you're losing money. There's no such a requirement. That you should be in business in order to lose money. There are people that are like that. But that's not what Hashem asks of anyone, and that's not the way that the world can survive. If the whole world would be like that, that's not a way to survive. Kol Masechtas HaNezikin, we have a whole chelik, a big fat part of Shas, of Torah Shebaal Peh. This Shabbos is Shabbos Mishpatim, Pashas Mishpatim. Every single pasuk is like a perek in Bava Kama and Bava Metziah. You have a word that's a perek in Bava Metziah. Of a combo of a sip of a basra, oiskas betashlam shechayv odom l'shama. When Nezik shows, that's all about you. If you damage something, then you have to pay for it. And the Torah doesn't say to you, No. You should be a tzaddik. You have to be a tzaddik. And just because the person like crashed into your car or something, or threw a ball through your window or something, you should be a tzaddik. You should be meichel. And so there are halachas, very, 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 very clear halachas about how to deal with all of these things. Therefore, the 6 days of the week and the 6 years of the Shemitah are days and years of abirius, meaning forcefulness, because there are a lot of customers that don't want to pay. And there are a lot of people who do damage that are trying to get away with it. Unfortunately, that's how it is in the world. And you need to take care of your responsibilities, of your family, of your tzedakahs, and so on. And you have to go after these people. It could be that's not could be. It's something which is the teva by nature. It's something which is, please, not now. I'm sorry, not now. It can be something which is very uncharacteristic for you to be takif, for you to go after somebody. It's very uncharacteristic of you. And the truth is that it is uncharacteristic of you. But that's what you have to do, to be oimed hamagila. And in order for you to be able to manage and to survive, to be successful, you have to do things that you would normally not be comfortable with, and make calls that are uncomfortable, and send emails that are uncomfortable, and do what you need to. Shimlokeng, how you mesach this elu b'taylus. If this was not the case, and a person is not supposed to be oimed al shelo al megila, then we wouldn't have above it. We wouldn't have above a kambo mitzvah above a basur. There wouldn't be a chelik of shas called nezikin. We wouldn't have any halachas like this. It would just be roll over and say, I'm so okay, whatever. Yeah, but I let you, $250,000. Please, it's not right. We're friends. Be meichel. There are halachas. There are times when that's required. There are times when it's not, and you follow what it says in Shulchan Aruch. V'lahayinu tzurichim lil maraisam. We wouldn't have to learn these halachas, or we wouldn't have to live according to these halachas. I can't tell you how many times over the years people have come to me with shilas about a certain thing in business, and they're such good people, so the shilah will begin with, look, I don't know, Rabbi, maybe I should just let it go. Is it right for me to this person, owes me money, this person I did a job, I did work for. I've been sending letters, I've been trying to get after this person, and so maybe it's not right for me to, I said that, why do we have a bezdin? Why do we have a din Torah? Why do we have Shulchan Aruch? What do you mean? Is it right? It's not right. It's not good for him that he's doing this to people, and it's not good for you that you're allowing him to do it. And there are halachas. Are there sometimes that you can go lift and Mishuvas Adin? We're not talking about that right now. But the 6 days of the week and the 6 years are very uncharacteristic for us, because it's not our nature to hound somebody for something. It's not our nature to be strong and demanding and to and not to give in. It's not the nature of a Jew to be that way. Rav Kook says, these are the words now of Rav Kook. V'moisa ha'abirius ha'muchrachas. So he calls this abirius muchrachas. It's necessary forcefulness, part of life. That's how life is. There's a certain forcefulness. V'moisa ha'abirius ha'muchrachas l'hislavos. In kol seder shel chayit sibur kvuim. So Rav Kook is explaining. Rav Avner writes, "Hatkifus misafsheres rak kasher yesh seder kvuah b'chayit sibur." Now this kind of tkifus is only acceptable and only works when you're living in a society where there's a seder. So we have a seder as from Jews, and if you're living in a country that's a country where there are laws, and there's a mahalach of life, there's a certain kriyas, There are laws of ownership. Who owns this and who owns that? Where the laws are either the laws of the Torah, the laws of the Malchus, of the country you're living in, set out exactly what are the rules of bailus of ownership and so on. Shimlokein lonitin lonahal mischar. If there wouldn't be clear laws, people would not be able to conduct business. Hasakim amayrach eshlavar. People wouldn't be able to work if there wouldn't be laws and guidelines. Other men yochel is panis mimischar mulbarulo shischeros hishlo bilvat. You wouldn't be able to make a panosa from schira, from merchandise, if you didn't have clear bailus, if this wasn't clearly yours. You wouldn't be allowed to sell it and to make money from it. A lot of people try doing that, but there are laws and there are consequences to violating the law. And if somebody wants that schar from you, he has to pay. Kasha hagdoros halalu buros, when these laws are clearly defined, then you could be strong and forceful. Because Reuven can come to Shimon and say that according to the Shulchan Aruch, you owe me this money. I did this work for you, or I sold you this merchandise. You owe me this money. And you can come to Kephas and Abirius to say, you owe this to me. And if he doesn't pay, you could bring him to a din Torah. Habirius, but so all of this is true. But what Rav Kook writes is that this Abirius, which is fine, of course, it has to always be done in a way of Nimus and Menschlichkeit and according to the Torah, all of that, but it's fine. And the world can't exist. Hashem made a world that needs that. But it does have, over time, it has many negative side effects on us. It has side effects. Rav Kook writes, Go remes lahaktin es adinus achayim hamusaros. This abirius, this forcefulness of the 6 days and the 6 years causes a shrinking. Causes a shrinking of the adinus achayim, of the gentleness of ethical life. It has an effect on a person. It has this negative effect on a person. So Rav Avinir explains, Hamulchama ala parnasa, this war to make a living, Ikar hametzius, achiva, it's necessary, achivadai shochekes es adinus, it grinds, it just chips away at the adinus, a certain gentleness, and a certain sensitivity, a certain kindness, just over time. That's what happens. Anum kolze eno nogedes hamusarius. Even though when we're talking about an honest business person, so everything is conducted in a way that's musari, meaning according to halacha and according to the guidelines of what's correct moral, ethical behavior for whatever that profession is that you're in. And you're an erlicher business person, and you're doing everything that's right, so no one can claim that you're a person that's not musari. You are a person that's ethical, musa meaning you're an ethical, moral person, because you're following the law. So by my sending you, this is your final notice, you haven't paid, and if you don't pay by January, by February, whatever, first, if you don't pay, then we're going to have to pursue this in a din Torah or whatever. There's nothing immoral about that. The person might try to tell you that you're a chazer, you're a rasha, but that's tam diburim. There's nothing immoral or unethical. There's nothing that's lo musari about sending that notice and sending a hazmar to Bezdin. It's not unethical. You're honest, and you're conducting honest business. And these are the halachas of how to conduct business. There's nothing wrong with that. But you don't feel good about it. It's not something that you're proud of. It's not something that you want your kids to watch. You don't want them to do your mail for you and stuff and to see this. Even though you'd explain, listen, Kindle, what am I supposed to do? You want to go to Orlando, don't you? So I gotta pay for that. So this guy owes me $10,000. I did work for him. So what am I supposed to do? Is it against the Torah? No. You can ask your rabbi, is it against Shulchan Aruch? No. I'm doing everything 100% according to halacha. It's 100% musari. It's moral and ethical. You don't want your kids to have to be part of that. It's uncomfortable for you to see like one of those strong letters. This is a guy that told me that I knew years ago, this goes back a while, that he owned real estate, apartments. He had buildings in really, really bad neighborhoods. And collecting rent was like a whole chavaya. And he had to go to collect rent. He went with a guy with a rifle because he was in danger of his life. And he has to walk around with this guy with a weapon to go to people's homes. So he said that, he told me that like 7 out of 10 times, like it was very, very chashuv that he came with a rifle and it helped a lot. But then there were those few times that it was like just like an old grandmother who couldn't pay her bills, you know? Some old lady that not only that, but usually they dump off all of their kids on this old lady, right? So she's got like a house full of illegitimate children that her family produced. And she's sitting over there. It's like an old lady, a sweet old lady. And he said, I come over there like with this 6'5" guy with a rifle, you know. I guess it reminds me of her 8 o'clock or something. But you know, so he was telling me how this is like an essay part of my job. Like, this is what I do. Otherwise nobody's paying. But maybe that grandmother, you know, she can't pay, and it's Taki Rahmanis, and she's just a nice lady that's gotten to this bad matzav of her life, and he walks into this apartment like it's, you know, he's ready for war, and then you see the sadness or the fear in the person's eyes, and he was telling me, this is terrible, like you see me on Shabbos, I go to the mikveh, and I come to shul, and he says, I'm like a regular guy. And I'm davening, and I'm saying, Nishmas Kol Chai. And during the week, I walk around with a rifle, like aimed at some old lady's head. I can't collect rent without this. I can't collect rent. They don't understand if you say please. Or you send 1,000 letters. This doesn't work. You just have to walk in with a rifle. I don't know if you can do that anymore. It was a long time ago. That doesn't work any other way. So even though it's 100% musari, there's nothing immoral or unethical, but it could cause a problem inside of you. There's a Mordechai Gar Chaim HaKadosh. It says in Torah, it's talking about when we go to war. And afterwards it says in the Pasuk, Nosnocharachim Richamcha, that Hashem will give you rachamim and he'll have compassion on you. In other words, Hashem will help us to win our wars. So Chaim HaKadosh is asking, why does it say Nosnocharachim? Just Hashem is telling us, I will have compassion on you and I will help you to win, right? That's the possible. So what's for Nosnocharachim? So Chaim HaKadosh says, because when you're going out to war, it could have this effect upon your kindness. And you lose a certain measure of your humanity when you go to war. You lose something. If you're spending, can you imagine, this guy's just going around collecting, if you're spending a year, two, three, where people go to war, and even though they're killing for a righteous cause, they're killing Nazis, they're saving the world. But when you do that over and over and over, it could cause an imbalance in your Midas HaRachman. Just causes an imbalance in Mizrahim. There are lots and lots of people who fought in the wars who are good people, and afterwards, the rest of their lives, they're haunted by things that they did during the war that might have been right, but still haunt them. And then some things that they did maybe a little bit extra. I told you just a few months ago, I mentioned how after the Milchama, it was, my father told me that it was such a hefkeres, it was crazy afterwards, by liberation. And before, like, everything settled down, so there was a lot of killing that was going on, just in the hefkeres. In other words, there were Germans that were running for their lives, and the Americans and Russians got them. The Russians, my father said, are like, brutal, beyond belief. And my father had a maisa that he told me, and I had such funny feeling about this. My father got emotional about it, that he said that there was an American soldier. My father was with a friend of his, and the war just ended, and it was just liberation. And there was an American soldier, and there was a German that was running over there or something. And the American grabbed the soldier. The American grabbed this Nazi. And he turned to my father and his friend, and he said, like, b'chavod. He didn't use the word b'chavod, he wasn't Jewish, but he gave him the gun. He said, you guys, I give you the pleasure of, you know, there's no one watching. Forget about, you know, Geneva Continent. No one's watching. Take care of this guy, he's a Nazi. And my father said he couldn't do it. He just said, do whatever you want to do. And I remember, like, as my father told this to me, I felt like, you know, this is somebody who, after reading so many comic books and watching so many shows, like, I can't believe my father didn't do that. Like, why not blow this guy's head off? It's just, my father said, the guy was just standing there like a, you know, and the guy was holding him. See, it's not that my father didn't want to see this guy punished, but let somebody else do it. So Aruch HaMakodesh says, "Nosach Harachemim," that after a milchama, you could be in a bad place with your own midas harachemim. Because in order to be successful in the milchama, you have to be relentless, and you have to be unforgiving, or else you're not going to make much of a soldier. So Nosach Harachemim, that Hashem says, not only am I going to have compassion on you, I'm going to restore your sense of compassion to you. I'm going to bring you back to a place of compassion. Bring you back to a place of compassion. Because you lose that. And that could happen in a very, very different way, obviously, but that could happen at work. You know, you got to tell this one to do this and do this one to that. Yeah? And the way to conduct business is totally moral and totally ethical. But what Rav Kook is saying is that it's Garemus Lahaknes Adinus Achaimu Masaris. So he's explaining, Rav Avner explains, it just has a way of wearing down that gentleness of a Jewish soul, of Nishmas Yisrael, is worn down by that milchama of life. There's a milchama to get ahead, to be Masliha. Omnam kolze in a nogidus amusarius. There's nothing unethical at work. As long as you're doing everything 100%, it's not immoral. The fact that you're fighting for your piece of bread doesn't mean you're not allowed to do that, and it doesn't mean that you're not a person that's musari. So let's say there's a pizza shop over there, a block away, and you want to open up a pizza shop. You go to ask a Rav, a Shaila, based upon this community and the configuration of the community. Am I allowed to open up a pizza shop a block away on Central Avenue from that pizza shop? And the Rav looks into the situation and he sizes up the matzav. He says to you, mutalach, 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 that the five towns in Farakway and so on is a lot of pizza eaters, and it's a Kanina Hara, it's a busy place, and there's room for another pizza shop a block away. It's not a problem. It's not a hasaga shvul. It's okay. But again, it might not be that you feel so great about it. You know, if you open up and there are customers coming in, they used to go there. So, but there's nothing that's not musari, as long as you got a psak. And halacha is you could open up the store, you open up the store. Then. You did everything 100% according to halacha. So musari, ach mashu bad dinushu. But it could be that your rachman is something happened to. could be Yachmanis, something happened. That somewhere along the way you lost yourself. With everything, even though everything along the way was 100% halacha, and everything was 100% moral and ethical, but it still doesn't mean, it doesn't guarantee that you didn't lose yourself. You did what you should have done, but it doesn't mean that you haven't lost yourself. I guess that's what the story of my father, Olav Shalom, meant. That after all that he went through, he didn't want to lose himself. And he felt that naturally that that's something that he could do, is to put just to shoot a guy like that. It would be 100% kalocha, and you could make a siyum, and you can make a lechayim for killing such an animal. But b'chol zayis, where does that leave me? Where does that leave me? So this is a hard thing to define. It's not clear. But it happens over time that 6 days of the week, 6 years of the Shemitah, it happens over time that you can do everything 100% kalacha, but it's not you anymore. Somebody else. It could happen to Jewish people as a people as well. So we have to be so careful, even the way we fight our milchamas, that we have halachas about how we conduct ourselves in milchamas as well. Not that we'll ever satisfy our enemies. Like, who else like drops notices, hey, chever, we're going to drop a bomb here. You know, take a half hour, get your stuff and leave. But we do that, and there's still like Rishayim. But it's not just a matter of impressing the world or trying to make the world happy, because the world will never be happy with anything that we do. We all know that. It makes no difference. Unless Jews are killed, the world is not happy. Jews are not supposed to kill. Jews are supposed to get killed. And it's not right that Jews are killing people. It makes no difference. It's not supposed to be. It's not just because of that. Musa HaMilchama, that Musa of how we conduct ourselves at war, it's not just worrying about whether this Yishmaeli or this Nazi. It's me. What's going to be with me? What's going to be with me? And what are you going to do? You going to shoot some old lady in the head? You're going to shoot her in the head. But during war, during actual war, things like that go on. And I've read books like this over the years, growing up, about war, how soldiers come back and like they did things they couldn't believe they did it. They were just shooting women and children. I'm not talking about Germans. I'm talking about American soldiers, good guys. They would never ever hurt a person, in a regular life. They would, regular day, they wouldn't hurt them. They're things that happened at the end in Vietnam. Things that's a bullshit. What Americans would do. And I'm no liberal. I don't think you know that I'm a conservative, politically conservative, but. Killing innocent people, and then you have to live the rest of your life for that you did such things. So what happens is, he says, machshu ba'adinu shelo vaday nifga ma'at, something in your adinut, in your sensitivity, in your gentleness, is nifga, is damaged. Of course, war is very extreme, but the war of life, of just surviving. There are some people that are so sensitive and so delicate. They simply cannot do that. They say they're not built for such warfare. They can't do it. Either as soldiers or being in the rat race. We were talking about last week that even if you win, you stole a rat. They can't do that. They can't be in that kind of a parnasa. They can't be in that, you know, they can't get into something with that, that kind of a profession. They can't be in that world. Dog eat dog. Even though everything is a kahalacha, and everything is moral, and everything is ethical, but they're just too delicate to be in that. You know. Can't do that for a living. Whatever it is, something else, whatever. But if you find such an Indian that's not like that, they can't do that. Now, Rav Cook's words. V'anigud ha-masmid shebein ha-shmiya ha-ideolis la-achrozo shel chesed ve-emes chem le-verachem. He said, that nigud, that constant dichotomy, the conflict between who you are, Be'etzem, and how you conduct yourself, and what you need to do to survive, that ideal, Ben Hashmiah, the ideal, listening to that ideal of Achrozo Shel Chesed Ve'Emes. Achrozo Shel Chesed Ve'Emes. In other words, all you're hearing about when you're learning is Chesed Ve'Emes. Right? That's all you hear about. But then your day-to-day life at work, the M is okay if you're honest business, but the kindness, it conflicts with everything you learn and everything you daven for. Chemle v'rachmem. Compassion. Rachmem. Onam achvizem kol eish. Am Yisrael hu am shal chesed. Am shal gram lechasadim. All the time we're talking about how the Jewish people are the kindest people, and the gram lechesed were the most generous and kind people. Gram lechasadim, the children of gram lechasadim, that's who we are. These are the midas, the simanim of the children of Avraham Avinu. And it's true. But that conflicts Levin and Negisa of Kuksas and Negisa Vakfiya. The Negisa, which means in Yiddish, to mun somebody for you know, to go after somebody, Vakfiya, and forcing people to do their work, to pay you back. There's that contradiction. Even though you're not doing anything that's not right. Everything is legal. Everything is kahalacha. But that steer between the chesed and the emes that you have inside of you, and that you learn about, and you talk about, and you daven about, and that are the midas elokiyas of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and having to live that way. So it's that steer is unbearable. It's unbearable. I remember when we were first married, and I had to try to get some extra to try to make a couple of dollars. So I was working as mashgiach. I got a job as mashgiach for a chasna, for a hotel, the kashrut, whatever. And there was this old mashgiach there that was doing this for since Adam Chava. And it's old mashgiach, and I was just like this new guy that came in, and he pulled me over, like on the first day, and he said to me, "Listen, Weinberger, you're not going to last over here." And I don't know, because I learned all the halachas, and I was going to do everything right. So I said, "What do you mean, Rabbi? What's the matter?" He said, You can't talk to the goyim that way. Because you can't ask them like, "Please, can you do this?" Or say thank you after they do it. That's what he told them. He said, "You have to talk to them like behemoths. You have to talk to them like chayes." That's what he told them. He said, "You can't," because he saw it going around like talking to the workers. Because they have to do this and do that, and I have to give them orders. And I never gave anybody orders. Oh, maybe my sister, she never listened. So I had to give orders to the goyim over there. And I was going to them and saying like that. I said, "What's your name? Would you mind? Could you help me with this?" And the truth is that they would laugh a lot, and they would put it down in the middle, they would walk away. I wasn't, it was hard to get things done. And he said to me, "You're not going to stay here like this. You got to talk to them like behemoths." That's what he said. And then one of the most horrible things, I'm telling you this what happened. He said, "Weinberger, watch this. And he says to one of the goyim, he says, "Get over here." That's what he said, "Get over here." And he threw something on the floor. He threw his paper on the floor. And he said, "Pick it up." He said, "Pick it up." And the guy bends down and gives it to him. And he said, that's the only thing that works over here." I said, "I got to get out of here." I never saw such a thing in my life. To do that to a person. I don't care if he's a this or that. Even if he's a criminal, I don't know what he is. Is he a human being? He calls him home. Pick that up. That's how you work. Okay, that's immoral. That's immoral. That's a madriga. It's a madriga. But in different ways, in different levels, not so extreme, you could find yourself being a little bit like that rabbi, you know? In different ways. Maybe more sophisticated, not in such a suppressed way, but it's not nice, you know? It's 100% kedasu kedin. What Rav Kook is saying is that you go, like, then what happens? The rabbi goes afterwards, he puts on, he's not putting on thousand stones, but he goes to Damar, v'hu rachum yichaper, v'hu rachum, and he is compassionate, and where's your compassion? Why? I did something against the rules, I did something that's not kalacha, the call of the guy, the time to pick up the piece of paper, he works for me. I don't do anything I want. V'hu rachum yichaper le'ashe. So, there's contradictions that you live in between the 6 days of the week and Shabbos. The 6 days of the week and who you are. That's what means the gisa kfiya. Yes, the money is coming to you. But then it's an amazing thing. Shemitah comes and says, even the money that's coming to you, let go. Azovidze. You can't conduct a nation like that. You can't live 7 years like that, it's not going to work. But if you don't have that from time to time, you're not going to be a nation, you're not going to be an Am Kaddish, you're not going to be an Am Segula, you're not going to be a Malachas Kahanim. It's just you can't. What these soldiers go through afterwards, there's a lot written about this stuff. Because there's a desensitization, because otherwise, how are you supposed to be a soldier? And then afterwards, how they come back and they're tzibrach, they don't know how to talk to their wives, they don't know how to talk to their kids. It's terrible, terrible, terrible things. These have to go through, they go through, terrible. And they end up going crazy afterwards. And they didn't do anything. I'm talking about, they did everything properly. According to all the laws, all the rules of Milchama, they did everything, and they still come home, and the wife doesn't know this person anymore. It's ois mensch, gone. A different person, not the person that she married. Depressed, or angry. It's terrible. So, in a different way, but Maluseinu, Rav Avner explains, Maluseinu anu am shel grem lechasadam. The mohus of a Jew, nishmas Yisrael, is v'hu rachum. That's the nisham of a Jew, is v'hu rachum. Just like he's Racham, that's our natural character. Ach b'porel anu noksim, but during the week, noksim means you're going to get your money. You're going to demand what's coming to you. Anu dorshim es kaspeinu b'chazar. You gave somebody money, you lent somebody money, or whatever it is, you gave him some schar, he owes you money, you're going to get paid. Okay, there are halachas. Again, there are halachas. If a person doesn't have money, so then what are you supposed to do? Whatever you're told according to halacha, you do. Somebody has money, he's not paying you. Okay, so I'm not talking about somebody that can't pay you. But somebody that can pay you, and he's not paying you. It's mutter for you to go and to ask what's coming to you. The Mitzvah Shel Yameinu Kimat Vein Odom She'en L'Mamon. It's not like it used to be. I mean, there are still some situations like this, but it's not like the person doesn't have any money. You have situations where somebody lends somebody thousands of dollars, and the person the guy that borrowed doesn't even give him. I've had so many situations like this over the years. At least give the guy $50 a month. Give him something. You owe the guy $10,000. So what do? You just start davening another shul. That's what usually happens, right? And those are the ones already that have a higher madrega of Musa. The ones that are on the lower madrega of Musa, they still davening the shul. And the guy sits 10 feet away from him. He owes him thousands of dollars. Doesn't bother him. Doesn't say anything. nothing. You can't afford to give the guy $50, $100 every now and then. You owe money. Not like it used to be where a person didn't have, there are people. A person doesn't have a prut, that doesn't have a penny. Can't give a guy, to show at least I'm in the cheshbon, I want to pay back. People have cars. Or they live in an apartment, they live in a house. A person, theoretically, a person could sell his car, but basically could sell the house. To pay people back. More bez than mishtari, you have people that they refuse to pay back. They're not listening to bezin. They're not listening to the law. And they have what to give. And the person doesn't pay. Adam shlo yidrosh is kasma b'chazar. Allah lots is nakim b'chazar. And if you don't go after these people, you can end up not being able to take care of your family. The people you're responsible for in this world are not able to go to school or to have food. So what do you do? What was that? So there is that rightful war for what's coming to you. 100%. Nevertheless, even though the war is justified, and it's fought in a moral and ethical way, safka sof, you're a soldier, and you're on the battlefield. And the Torah says, so even us in the charachman, you can lose your balance. You can lose your balance. It's very easy for that to happen. People who are honest at work and business, and you talk to them, they'll tell you more about this. I was never really a business person, but people are business people, and professional people that they have in this. It's you have to daven that Hashem should put you in, keep you in balance. The lachatz, the pressure, of course, says hafolus lachatz al bal hachov, that you have to put pressure on people who owe you money. She yishalim eschayvah, to pay you what he owes you. Allah kainah she yishalim avor eschayv shekanah, the guy bought something, you have to put pressure on him. You have to send him a bill. You have to collect. So Rav Kook says hakpada shel kinyan ruchush. Therefore, you have certain hakpadas, you have to be demanding and particular when it comes to what you own, to your kinyan, to what kinyan ruchush, to the things that, regarding the things that you own. And if somebody is ruining your property, or somebody is painting graffiti on your wall, you have to take care of these things. You own this. This is your place. Ala adam lahak bin aruchusha. Hamuchrochem leheros ba'olam ha'maisi. Rav Kook says, "Kachayom lenog b'chaim ha'maisi." This is how we have to behave in the 6 days of the week, 6 years. Matzav zehu omna muchrach. So even though this is something that we have to do, Achu goyrim, Rav Kook says, "Goyrim ha'chok elohar eloki mitchunas hakarosa hatziburis shel ha'uma." However, with all of the justification, it causes there to be a distance between the godly light of the Jewish people, or Eloki, and Chunas HaKaros HaTzibur Shalomah, from that, and quality of recognition, of the national collective recognition of the Jewish people, of meaning of Vuracham, of being compassionate. So Rav Avner explains, "Hisnalus kazu shel nagisa." This way of living, where you have to go and demand and kfiya and force people to pay back lachatz, put pressure, akpada, akini rechush, all the akpadas that we have over our things that we own and so on. All of that is justified and is 100% expected and necessary that it is. Soteris es hatchuna hatziburish loma. It contradicts. Contradicts the natural national character of the Jewish people. It just contradicts that. Imkach ulai einana uma shamamlach is next page. Mamlach is kind of a good kodesh. you can begin to wonder. So what happened to the Mamlechas Kahanim v'Goy Kodesh? What happened? I was so proud of such a Kiddush Hashem. A few weeks ago, there was a fire in the Bronx, and there was a whole chevra that went from Borough Park, from the, you know, they went to help out there. I was so proud. I felt so good about that. You know, that such a Kiddush Hashem, the guys went. Such a Kiddush Hashem. There was a, my wife showed me a picture that there was some black guy who was he's in the mosque over there, an imam or something, a rav in the mosque over there, and there was a chassidish guy and they're hugging each other. It's good. It's a good thing. Not because of the PR. It could be that was part of the cheshbon. I don't think there's, maybe there's something there, but that's not just the PR. It's be'etzem. It's such a good thing. Such a good thing. Does that mean that imam's not going to give a drasha 2 years from now? You know, about the Jews, about the Palestinians. I don't know. Maybe he won't. But that's not. It's not just about that. It's about who we are. Those guys felt good when they came home. They came back. They felt good. They felt that they did something that was in line with who the Jewish people are. Even because it could be that during the week he was saying, oh, this guy like this, and this guy like that. You know, the diburim that come out of our mouths, that we're used to certain diburim that are lo yafim, not nice. But just part of Golus. And then he spent the whole day helping people. And first of all, you see that these are human beings, they're Rahmanis, and human beings. There's a fire, it's Rahmanis. People are scared, people lost everything. Rahmanis, Jews are Rahmanis. Rahmanis. And then a Rahmanis for somebody you normally don't even think about, you don't even look at all the time as being a regular human being. And it's good for them to see that these are human beings. It's Rahmanis. To look at somebody like that, it's Rahmanis. When we were in the country last year, my wife and I went into a takeout place to get some stuff, and there was a girl there, a frum girl dressed beautifully, She looked like she was maybe 16, 17 girl. And she's talking to the guy behind the counter, also, give me this, give me that. I want this. Not a thank you, not a please, nothing. And my wife went over to her afterwards and said to her, honey, you got to talk different to her. What's that? How do you talk? She said, to who? What I do? So my wife said, to the guy over there. So she said, well, to him? What am I supposed to say? So I said, please, thank you. What am I supposed to say? She looks at that person like a cockroach that was created to give her a pound of coleslaw. No. It's bad. It's loyafah. That's not Am Yisrael. And again, I'm not talking from a place of, you know, equal rights and bending or anything like that. It's just loyafah. It's out of character. How did that happen to us? So, usual explanations. Listen, for thousands of years we're beaten and tortured. And so, but look at that little Mexican guy didn't bother that girl at all. He didn't beat anybody. He's just trying to make a living. And he goes home and he tells his wife or his girlfriend, Shana mentioned, oh, these people, they can't say a thank you, they can't say a please, they treat me like an animal. Am Hashem Eila. What happened to us? It grinds us down. Life just gets to you. You lose it. Now, you don't think that girl's the nicest girl in the world? No question she's the sweetest girl in the world. I have no question that she's the nicest person. It just happens to you. You don't know how, what. It happens to you. You just get into that life. So then you look at and you say, Mamlechas Kahanim v'Goy Kodesh. L'umar v'gilah. And so then who are we? Like any other people? Nemuchas ruach, hello, ruach. Shekol in yonu asokim, just business people. That's all we are. Mischar lachatz mishtara beznan. Yeah, police. You're allowed to call the police if this guy's breaking in. And you're allowed to go to beznan if the guy didn't pay you. Well, that's true. And you're allowed to put pressure on the guy to pay you back. All of it's true. But over time, Shar Chokke Rav Kook says Chokkezum mefafas keeres. This distance, this paradox between who you are as Vehu Rachum, as a Jew, and the way you conduct yourself during the week, what it does is it causes there to be a poison. If Afaz Ke'eris, it spreads, it bubbles and spreads inside of the Jewish people and inside of the individual like a poison. Gambe Musarim Shal HaYechidim, and it reaches the morals and the ethics of the individuals, that they become less moral and less ethical, like the guy at war, that he shot somebody he shouldn't have shot. What are you shooting that lady? What are you doing? What are you going? You shooting a kid? What are you, out of your mind? So something happens over time. And even though it all was going kedasu kedin, and everything you asked the shayla. But over time, when you look at yourself, it's something different. If you look at yourself honestly, it's not where you're supposed to be. Suras chayim shekazu alulu lechalchel gamal kol yochid v'yochid. This way of life can creep into the individual. Lefgo b'musar ha'ishi, and can damage that normal, healthy sense of what's right and what's wrong. You can damage it. And you have no problem saying go rachum. This whole past week, there were a lot of vinyanim that had to be Isaac, and they had to do with children being molested, because now it's a very big, not now it's very big, it's very big all the time, but because of what happened recently, so there are people that are trying to Baruch Hashem, come out and to talk about it, and it's on this Indian day and night, And, you know, I'm Isaac with a situation where you're dealing with a person that's giving shiurim the whole week, that's giving shiurim, that's teaching Torah, and when he's free, he's molesting children. And I was asking my wife last night, like, what does the guy think when he's giving the shiur? So my wife says he's not thinking at all. He's like two different people. I said, how do you get up and you give a drush on Parashas Mishpatim, whatever it is, Tazri Mitzar, whatever it is, how do you get up and you give it, and he's a very successful Talmud Chacham. How do you get up and give that drasha? Like, don't you think about what you're doing? How are you living your life? How many kids you destroyed? They're going to be destroyed till they die from what you did to them. And then you get up on Shabbos and Madash and says, Vayim Mishpatim. How does a human being do that? What's the tire of that? What's the psychology of that? It's a sickness. But if we take that horrible story and we just go away from that disgusting person, and we ask ourselves, who would never ever ever chalila in a billion years do such a thing, but in a very 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 different way, some level, we all fall into that stuff. Not chalila like that. That we believe in certain things, and we daven, and we learn, and we talk. But then sometimes you just check on yourself. You make a cheshbon nefesh, you say, what happened to, like, how does that Torah that I'm saying shtim with the person that I'm, how I talk to my kid? Or I talk to a worker? Or how I talk to my wife or my husband? How's it shtim? The avoid is to make it shtim. And over time, things can just slowly fall apart. And you could be, in a very different way, a frum person that goes around giving all kinds of drushes. And you're not that person, God forbid. But there's also something that's incongruous between what you believe in, what you teach, and the way that you treat people. Not that, God forbid, but the way that you treat people. So that rabbi that does that with kids, so he's on a very high madrega of that dysfunctionality, of that, or a low madrega of that separation. Well, it's the same sugya. It's the same sugya. It's just a very sick, extreme application of that bizarre separation between who you are and what you do. It's very, very bizarre. But if you're taking something, if you're taking money that doesn't belong to you from a customer, and you go to the mikveh, it's also bizarre. This is what happens to us. And we have to regain Shabbos, Shemitah, as Rav Kook is talking about, is to regain that balance of who we are. And to put things back together, because things could fall apart, and everything looks like it's Kalach. There's explanations, all kinds of things. You know? To put things together. That's what Shabbos and Shemitah are about. Okay, we should have left again Shabbos.